This is a Free Radio Santa Cruz special report. Please stand by. Willits, California. Beside the archway proclaiming Willits the gateway to the Redwoods and the heart of Mendocino County, sits the Remco plant, closed in 1995, located in downtown Willits on Highway 101. Since the 1940s, the site has been used in chrome plating operations for a variety of applications, beginning with sawmill equipment, expanding to include hydraulic cylinders, military gun barrels, offshore drilling equipment, tunneling equipment, hydraulic actuators for nuclear power plants, and steering mechanisms for nuclear submarines. The company has operated as Hurrah Brothers, Panubo Obex, Stan Ray, Remco Hydraulics, and has been reported numerous times for spillages and discharges into nearby Bechtel Creek. Citizens say officials have failed to provide information about the contamination to soil, air, groundwater from chromic acid, hexavalent chromium, tetralorethylene, titroethylene, ditroethylene, vinyl chloride, freon, diesel fuel, and other toxics used in chrome plating and manufacturing operations. Attorney Ed Masery and Aaron Brokovich appeared in Willits August 4, 2000, telling the residents the levels of contamination in Willits are the highest they have ever seen. About 100 residents of Willits have joined two other federal court actions against Remco Hydraulics and their corporate owners, Whitman and Panubo Obex, and the $9 million Willits Environmental Remediation Trust created by a federal court consent decree 2 years ago. Masery and Brokovich are seeking to include claims by any others affected in the contamination. In the related case, Hernandez v. Remco seeks damages against Mendocino County officials for covering up and destroying evidence in the unusual death of 5-year-old Forrest Hernandez, who died August 22, 1997, after ingesting a small amount of water from Bechtel Creek in the hills outside Willits. I spoke with Leslie Scales, mother of Forrest Hernandez, as she describes the death of her son.
That afternoon, he was playing around and just said, "Hey, Dad, look at me, Dad, I'm a big boy," and reached down and sipped a handful of water. And John said, "No, no, don't do that, you might get sick." And after that, he was the next morning, about 36 hours later, he started getting sick and throwing up, vomiting all day long. And then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he started turning green. And his skin was noticeably green, light green color. And so we took him into town to call doctors and find out what was wrong. He also had hemophilia, and he had a head wound from previously 2 weeks. And so we thought it could be, you know, possible danger sign for him. So we called his hemophilia doctors, and they said, "Do this, do that, you know, does he have this, poke on him here." And we checked him all out, and he didn't seem to be that, anything related to the hemophilia. So we called the Willits Hospital also after that and told them, you know, he's turning green, he's throwing up, and they didn't say anything either. They said, "It's up to you, you know, it's probably just flu. He'll probably be fine in the morning. It's up to you whether to bring him in or not." They didn't say anything about any chemicals or in the area or anything, which we find out later they knew, should have known about. Mm-hmm. But so we took him home that night, and then about 2:30 in the morning, he collapsed. Said, "I just want to feel good, I just want to be happy," and his eyes rolled back and he just collapsed. And we grabbed him and ran down to the car, to the hospital, 3 miles down the road, and trying to do CPR on him all the time, and he never revived. And when we got to the hospital, they couldn't revive him either, and 15 minutes later, he was stiff on the table. Then, as we were in the hospital with him lying there on the table, someone came and put a newspaper article on the desk that said, "Fish killed in Willett's sewer spill." And so we were sitting there looking at our son, stiff, on the table already after 15 minutes, and these fish in the newspaper, which looked the same way, all stiff and floating. And, you know, usually I look this up later, rigor mortis takes 8 hours to set in. He was talking at 2:30, and, you know, by 3, he was stiff. And so that was very strange, I thought.
What did the doctor say then? Did they have...
No.
Nothing. No explanation.
The doctors in the emergency room were looking around like they were really scared or something.
Really?
Like, you know, they kind of knew something was up. It was weird, you know. But they didn't say anything. We said, "What happened? Did he have a stroke? What, you know, what happened?" And they just didn't... They said, "We don't know." One deputy sheriff said, "It looks like he was poisoned."
So did they do any kind of testing in his kind of autopsy or anything on him?
All they tested for was illegal drugs.
Like cocaine and marijuana and that kind of thing.
Right, they did the regular screen for all the drugs.
Did you ask for them to do more?
Yes, we did. After we saw the fish kill article, we got suspicious. And so we started telling them that they should take samples of the water, test the water, we said. And they kind of laughed, the deputies kind of, yeah.
On the same day of Forrest's death, August 22, 1997, a final consent decree was being signed with the court case City of Willits versus Ramco Hydraulics Incorporated in U.S. District Court in San Francisco, California. The city's suit, initially filed in January 96, resulted in the findings of imminent and substantial endangerment to soil, air, and groundwater. And now, John Hernandez.
When we found out in September, when we called the sheriff's department, one of my friends, the lawyer, we found an article in the paper talking about the dissent decree about medical monitoring. We called the sheriff up, and we told him to check for chromium 6. During that time, we got a state investigator, doctor, working for the health department on toxics. She came into the picture also to find out if our son was died on toxics.
Right, I forgot to mention
After that, between the sheriff's department, the water board, and the city department, decided not to check for chromium 6. 6 months later, we got the autopsy report. And during the 6 months' time, we were getting investigated by the sheriff's department as child abuse parents.
An autopsy indicated that Forrest bled from the omentum, a layer of blood vessels between the stomach and intestinal tract. No other sign of any injury or cause of bleeding was indicated. Unsatisfied with the lack of investigation by city officials, family members launched their own investigation. Here again is Leslie Scales.
After we found out that the sheriff didn't test for chromium or anything else besides drugs, we got our own test done. We had samples of the water, the creek water that we had taken, and we also gathered up some of Forrest's vomit that was still in a cup after he died and put that away in a freezer and had it tested at a certified lab. And this is in the paper, it came out, the lab made a funny statement that the chrome 6 can degrade to chromium 3 very easily. And this is where it gets into a kind of technical discussion of chrome 3 and chrome 6 and total chromium. We had the stuff tested for chromium. We gave them the findings of the chemicals. Here's what's there. And they looked at what to test. And it said hexavalent chromium on our findings. And we understood that that's what the test was being done for, was hexavalent chromium. Now they're kind of backpedaling and saying, "Oh, well, it was total chromium, and it might not be the the toxic kind. But anyway, we did have our test done, and it was 49 parts per million in his vomit and 13 to 17 parts per million in the samples of creek water that we had. And at this point, it was 6 months later, and my understanding is chrome 3 degrades by then, the non-toxic kind, and anything that was left would have to be a heavy metal, chrome 6, mm-hmm. 6 months later, still left in the sample.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we believed at the time, was that this was the hexavalent chromium. Now they're saying, oh, there's another test we need to get done, which we will do. We still have the samples, and we can have them tested again if need be.
Chromium-3 is a natural occurring element and is not known to be toxic. Hexavalent chromium is an industrial heavy metal waste product that is a potent neurotoxin and carcinogen. Ingestion of hexavalent chromium can cause vomiting, gastrointestinal irritation, and can be lethal at high concentrations, according to the Agency for Toxic Substance Disease Registry in Atlanta. Airborne, it is similar to asbestos and is known to cause cancer and other respiratory ailments. One study placed it among the top 5 hazardous chemicals nationwide.
At that point, we tried to get lawyers.
I heard a little bit about this.
But we couldn't get one, so ultimately we ended up filing ourselves. It yourself, in pro se.
Learning about the legal system.
Right, so we went and read. We went and read the environmental laws and other laws and wrote up our own complaint and filed it right on the last day of our statute, 1 year. They kept telling us, you have to file in 1 year or you'll be forever precluded.
Oh, really? 1 year?
Right.
From his death?
Right.
Okay.
And so, under severe emotional distress, we did that. And then it started with the court battle.
What happened? What was your first day of court? Really? What happened?
Yeah, well, we...
What judge was it? Do you remember?
This was Judge Fern Smith.
In Willits or in...
In San Francisco.
Okay.
And first she threw us out and gave us no notice, and when we went up to the court and found out we'd been thrown out, she denied us intervention. See, we tried to intervene in the consent decree that had been signed, and she said no. Mm-hmm. That this would, how did she put it, stymie our already stymied efforts to clean up would be derailed. And
derailed?
Right.
Because
derailed,
you're getting justice?
Right. Uh-huh. And so we went and then we refiled again, just taking out the intervention and putting it in as our own complaint, our own case. And we got a different judge, Judge Charles Breyer, and he let us back into court, said we could amend the complaint, and he ordered the marshals to serve all the defendants even, which the court can do if it's a complex case. And
he
sometimes
did.
So he did that, had the people served.
How many defendants were there?
There were 8 groups from the city of Willits, the county of Mendocino, the state of California, the hospital we sued, the mortuary, which is owned by the former mayor of Willits, Tom Lucier, the mortuary where his autopsy was done, because they took his organs and never tested anything for those and then destroyed them before even 1 year was up. We found out he had purged the evidence, and so now all we have at this point is our evidence that we have. They've gotten rid of everything else.
So they had to come to court?
Right. Then they had to respond. And
what was their response?
Oh,
some of their responses.
They were pretty lame. No one answered the substance of the charges and said, no, this couldn't be, you know, we didn't do this, we have a permit. Well, no, they just said, you didn't file in time. They tried saying that. And you didn't give us notice, they said, our pre-filing notices. And we did give some pre-filing notices. We screwed up on some. We didn't quite give all the private federal ones, except that then we found there was an exception for hazardous waste. You don't need those notices. So it got into another little technical discussion. That, you know, they just try and get off on technicalities, basically.
Right. So what happened then?
And so then, during the court fight, how it got from the one judge to the other judge was that we had to file a notice of related case with the previous case, City of Willits versus Remco, and it goes back to the original judge, Fern Smith, again. And so we filed our notice and said, well, it's related, but we'd prefer to stay with our current judge in order to avoid prejudice of the court and other parties to the protracted negotiations leading to the consent decree. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, it's not related. And then the City of Willits filed another one. It was a little confusing. They didn't get ours because of the service. And so they filed a second notice of related case. The judge read the City of Willits and said, yes, it is related. And so we presented the two related case orders. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And Judge Fern Smith got shipped back to Washington somehow or other, I guess.
Very mysteriously.
Right.
Wow.
And this got turned over to the new judge, Judge Susan Ilston.